We're beginning Theater Week here with four folks from the colleges in the area. First, just to simply hear their voices and meet them, from SFCC, Josephine Keefe. Good morning, Josephine.
Good morning.
And just to hear your voice a little longer, when does school start for you?
School starts on September 19th.
Okay, and then you'll have productions going, which we'll talk about in a little bit. And then from Gonzaga, Charlie Pepitone. Good morning, Charlie.
Good morning.
And you're already underway, right?
Yep, this is the second week, so everything's hopping already.
And then Sarah Goff from EWU, go ahead and move a little closer to the microphone, but when does school start for you?
September 21st.
Yeah, but as we were discussing, you're already hard at work on many, many plans, as theater people do. And then Diana Trotter from Whitworth. Good morning, Diana.
Good morning.
And school starts, what, tomorrow for you?
I go from here to freshman advising.
Okay, so we might have even saved you from one meeting. You don't have to admit that out loud. Okay, we're going to jump right in on this college theater roundtable about the real place of theater within our colleges and then the place of college theater within our civilization, that I'm going to ask a hypothetical question, hopefully only a hypothetical question, to each of you. You're involved heavily with your theater departments, and your college president has just told you that they're going to cancel the theater department due to budget cuts, and you're caught in an elevator with that very same college president. So just kind of scattershot, I want to know a few of the arguments you're going to make when you know you have that college president all of your own. Who wants to jump in right away on this? Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, well, I probably had to think about it a lot because I came in to Eastern right at the time that the program at WSU was cut. And so that hit pretty close to home. I think I'll start by just talking about an article that I read last night that really hit home. And it was called The Epidemic of Loneliness. And it was a study that was looking at elderly people specifically and a disease of loneliness and thinking about loneliness as a disease. When they set up a hotline where people would call in simply needing to hear another person's voice. An 80-year-old woman, it was her birthday, and she realized that she hadn't seen a single person the entire day or talked to a person. And many people would had gone a week or more without any human interaction and looking at the illnesses that were coming out of this. And we can think about loneliness only as something that affects, you know, an aging population. But really, when you're in the classroom, it becomes very evident, particularly in performance classrooms, how lonely our students are. And so when they have an opportunity to engage with their peers in a way that's not mediated by technology, but they're actually looking at someone in the eye and being touched, you know, and being seen, it reaches them in a place that they're desperately hungry. And so I think as we start to think about loneliness and disease and all of the things that human beings need, theater is one of those cures. And it is about community. It's not something I just watch by myself on Netflix, although I do a lot of that. Less now that I have kids, but it's still a very communal art form, and it's imperative.
As your college president, I'm convinced already. That's good. Okay, who else? The many, many, many values of theater for college students.
I think that another...
This is Josephine.
...value is, and I think, you know, reminded of it as Sarah's talking, is the study of the human condition. And we're studying the human condition from the time of Greek tragedies to present-day tragedies, like in Eichhalter's exit strategy, which is on the closing of Chicago schools. We use theater as the platform for telling stories of our past and our present. We as actors and as teachers of theater are looking back, and we're learning from the past to maybe inform the present. We're learning from the present maybe to inform the future. And I don't know why any school wouldn't want to have students that are looking at the actions of the human past and present and considering their future.
So in any humanistic society, okay, that's a good one too. Anybody else?
I would also add the pragmatic argument to that as another way to come at convincing the CEO of your college institution.
This is Diana Trotter. Yeah,
yes, yeah. That this is good business in the sense of what is of value to the university. So the theater training that students go through provides them in abundance with every employment skill that employers in every industry are looking for in spades. The ability to work in groups, the ability to present material publicly and in person, the ability to think creatively and solve problems, the ability to get back up from failure, the ability to meet deadlines. It's quite astonishing that anyone would dismiss theater as not good job training. I read an article in the New York Times education supplement that comes out once a year. And a recruiter for top MBA programs was giving advice for what undergraduates could do to better prepare themselves to be accepted into these top programs. And of his top five things, one of them was take theater classes because of the kind of preparation it gives them and that they tend to excel in whatever field they go into. So I would be arguing the dollar value. And especially in this culture when there's so much focus on STEM education, that theater certainly, we all know, has value in and of itself, but it also has value in the larger picture. And then there's also just the public face of the university, the thousands of people that come into the university and are linked to the university because they came and saw a production there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Charlie, is there anything left?
that was all just fantastic. It's good to go last. I have a colleague who also teaches theater. When he's on an airplane, people say, "What do you do?" And he always says, "I teach interdisciplinary problem solving, group problem solving." And I think that's exactly what theater is, and it's through storytelling. It's where all of the other arts and sciences come together. It's everything is integrated in the art of theater. You can't create it alone. That's number one. But if you're an engineer, you can learn to build sets. You can engineer costumes in that. If you're a scientist, well, we're working on a show where we're using natural dyes this semester. Well, that's chemistry. Everything comes into there. So theater is where you have time to reflect on what you already know, what your skills and talents are in all of the other fields, and then working as a group, you're putting those skills to work in a really community-based, community-building, reflective way. So it's all about integrating those skills.
Yeah. Basic stump speeches from each of the four of you. it's really good. From Josephine Keefe from SFCC, Charlie Pepitone just speaking from Gonzaga, and prior to that we were hearing from Diana Trotter at Whitworth, and then Sarah Goff from EWU. And I know four really good theater programs. We'll let you brag about your theater programs in a little while. But let's kind of now take that one word, integrate, and talk, what's the actual practical value of your theater programs? Are you isolated, kind of people on the edge in your strange little places on campus? Or are you able to really, in what ways are you able to reach the larger campus with what you do?
We have a lot of buy-in. Our students that we work with, our actors and the crew, the technicians, all of them are from across campus. So we have our theater majors and minors and dance minors that work with us all the time. But then it's also not unusual to have engineering students on stage or backstage. So we've got a real cross-section, which is great. I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about a liberal arts school is that students are expected and they also expect to not just focus on whatever their major is. So we benefit from all of that.
Yeah. Anybody else?
I concur that particularly in a small school like Whitworth, which is, I think, the smallest of the four sitting here, and Gonzaga is a little bit bigger, but still that kind of small liberal arts school, we can't create theater without buy-in from the whole community. And because we're small enough, we can think about how our productions resonate with the rest of campus life. And many of our faculty include the theater productions in their syllabus. Mm-hmm. Across disciplines, we try to have other kinds of educational arenas around various shows. Not every show lends itself to that. Sometimes the show is just so we can all gather together and have a good time. But there's a good web that holds and supports the theater program at Whitworth. We're not isolated at all.
Mm-hmm. And then we can move on through a lot of topics. One topic none of you have mentioned, but I think is probably part of your programs, has to do with teaching theater education so that your people can go on and teach theater and be involved in that. Probably you especially, Sarah, with the Teachers College background of Eastern. Isn't that a big part of it, too?
Yeah, we have quite a few teachers in this area that have come out of Eastern Washington. Mm-hmm. And so, teaching is we're always sort of teaching, I think. You see that mentoring happen with students from the very beginning of the program where they're emulating what they see. Mm-hmm. And grew up in a family of teachers, and so that's near and dear to my heart.
And what about the education major that, is going to go to Harrington or something like that and teach English and theater and band and 14 other things? Do you have that kind of sense that you have kids enrolled in your program that are simply needing to get that sense of engagement with theater because they know they're going to have to?
I tell you, if you're going to teach theater in high school, it's because you are determined to do that. Because if they go to an advisor, and this is sad but true, they'll say, teach something else. I mean, theater is a secondary endorsement, so you have to teach something else with theater.
Well, usually English, isn't it?
Yeah, but I've seen all kinds of things, biology and Spanish and
math.
And that gives you a sense of the versatility. But they're pursuing theater because it's their passion. And that's exciting because it's not a large number of people that will take the theater endorsement, but those who do are in it.
So a theater endorsement is actually something in an education certificate that you've, like it's a rule that you've passed that you have so many credits of that?
Yeah, it's accredited through the state.
Okay.
So it's a separate process.
Yeah. And what about at the community college level on that? Because they're not quite yet worrying about their career maybe, but talk about the community college students.
Well, for the most part, and how I've kind of seen it, is that I'm helping to foster their desire, inspire them to pursue higher levels of education. For many students, they're coming from at-risk homes, lower-income families. They're looking for maybe a little bit of escapism in theater. I try to focus on intro to theater, theater history, understanding where it comes from, why we still have it today, why is it relevant, important to us, acting, and then trying to help the AFA students pursue what their next step will be.
AFA stands for what?
Associates of Fine Arts.
Okay.
Yep, in acting. And for many of our students, they've taken particular interest in Whitworth and Eastern and Gonzaga, so they try to go on to the four-year schools. Mm-hmm. But in terms of education, again, it's inspiring them to pursue something after their two-year degree.
Mm-hmm. And how does that work when you get somebody who's transferred in from SFCC into your programs? Does that work, or do you kind of secretly wish they'd been with you all the time?
I love transfer students. Yeah. What they always bring in these new experiences that haven't just been cloistered in our program for the first 2 years. So suddenly I'm thinking of a couple of our recent transfer students that came in from a community college in California. We've got one coming in locally. And they just bring this new experience. Many of the community college students have a bit more life experience. Sometimes they're older students. And that's always interesting. Mm-hmm. Adds more to the pot.
Yeah. Well, going back to some recent history, Sarah, you experienced a real range of students when you did the Things They Carried a few years ago, didn't you?
Yeah.
Talk about some of the unique things that you were able to use by doing that play.
This ties into an earlier question you had. We were fortunate enough to get to hire a new costume designer, and she asked me, how will you do our town with such a small program? And I was stumped. I had never really considered that. And then I had remembered someone else asking me, well, how did you do the Things They Carried? Because it's like 20 men. And so it just speaks to that. We have an entire campus, you know, of people. You need only go out and ask them to be in a play. Which has its drawbacks in the rehearsal room, but it is possible. And so, and I think another thing that's really exciting in terms of this transfer question is, I know Josephine. I've gotten to work, you know, with Josephine and Bill and Sarah and Charlie and admired Diana's work through The Modern in particular. And so I really feel like it's almost nieces and nephews that come in because I know who your teacher was and I'm celebrating and fostering that growth. Again, getting back to that real sense of community and what I think, I feel just tremendously blessed to be in part of academic theater here because I don't feel so isolated. I think there's a real strong community around us. And that's special.
And, of course, we're going to spend the rest of the week on where this goes and on Modern and Civic and all of the other theaters in our area. Another question having to do with the really serious theater major that you do, who has stars in their eyes, they're going to go be in the next hit movie in Hollywood, or on Broadway. And we do have some notable successes from this area, which I'm also happy for you to mention, but what is that kind of fine line of being completely involved, completely immersed, and yet knowing that there's almost more actors than audience members, at least in this town?
For me, I try to not take out the stars in their eyes. I think that it's important that you are attempting to reach for the stars as much as possible, but to gain a respect for the type of career that you're entering into. When I was in my training, it was, you know, really breaking down any part of yourself that was only focused on this intangible success, the Oscar, the Tony, whatever it is that you kind of deemed as a defined success to you, kind of breaking down that mentality so that your focus and your respect is on all aspects of theater. It isn't a one-man show. It is a multifaceted production with hundreds of other people involved. And to understand it from the ground up. And also, as students of theater, to come out of their theater training, I let my students know the very first shows I did outside of my 4-year, I produced myself. I talked to the venues and I let them know, hey, I want to put on a show and I'm not going to wait for someone to cast me in a show. You have to make your own work. One of the best things that my acting teacher ever said to me when I did a scene from Macbeth and she said, oh, you should play Lady M someday. And I said, oh, I hope I'm given the opportunity. And she said, no, you have to make that opportunity happen for yourself. And it's what I tell every single person who is remotely interested in following this profession hardcore to the fullest. I want to be a success in this. Is okay, you cannot wait for other people to give you any opportunities. You have to make them on your own 90% of the time. And the other 10% comes from respecting and maintaining the working relationships that you've gathered, and then falling into just that lucky draw in that one audition you went to where you thought you did really horrible and it turns out you did fantastic, and then you're cast in, you know, the next big play or the next big film. It's hard work. It is a tremendous amount of hard work, and I think that is the most you can tell them. especially if they have a lot of work to do still, is, you know, just because you're done with your 2 year doesn't mean you're done acting, doesn't mean you're done studying acting. I have my master's degree, and I still look at every other training in the U.S. where I'm thinking, wow, I want to study Suzuki. I haven't studied Suzuki yet, and I really want to study this at a 3-week intensive. You constantly need to find ways in which you can further your acting skills, put more tools into that toolbox to become the enriched actor that you hope to be by the time you're 90.
Yeah. Anybody else?
There's such a necessary audacity to being an artist at all. And that's what I hear Josephine saying. There's this training students to realize, as a friend of mine who runs a theater in Massachusetts says, the how of your art is equally important as the what of your art. So whatever your art form is, factoring in, how do you get that done? I do a lot of self-produced sort of stuff too. This idea of taking the means of production into your own hands and being audacious with it. That creates a certain kind of work. If you're beating the streets as an actor and you're going to auditions, that creates a certain kind of work. And so all of the how and the what of the arts, they're totally linked in that way. And that's what I try to get students to realize, is there is no one way, and the way that you get it done, that sort of determines what work you're doing too.
Have any of you been able to kind of follow and see some of your students, former students out there doing amazing things in the world of theater?
Yeah, we have several alums who are working in New York right now that I, the last time I was out there, got to see. One of our graduates was in Dr. Zhivago, which unfortunately didn't have a long Broadway life, so her Broadway debut was somewhat short-lived. But it has generated additional work, and we have a student, former student, who's a composer assisting a musical director for a show in New York. We have a guy who's a wardrobe master and is on his third Broadway production now. Not that Broadway's the be-all and end-all, but it's certainly what people go, well, you know, how many of your students are either in the movies or on Broadway? We also, as all of us do, have alums working in theater all over the country. And I've really appreciated the growing relationship between the academic theater programs here and the downtown theaters, because I think one of the challenges for students studying theater at any of our schools is Spokane is not a big national market. And students can get a sense of, oh, it's easier than we thought, or we're comfortable here. And to make that leap to a bigger market and to figure out the hows and the nuts and bolts of how does this business work? How do I create work, generate work, network with people? How do I find the audacity to get out there every day and do what I need to be doing? That can be difficult for an undergraduate in our market. But the more connections that we all have with what's going on in Spokane, the more opportunities the students have to experience, even on a smaller level, what that's like. For example, when the Modern switched to doing more commercial style auditions, where people have to prepare an audition packet and show up and do it, as opposed to auditioning for individual shows. That was scary for a lot of people, but it's great that we have that happening in our market. That's great training for our students.
I think another aspect is teaching our students that bar of professionalism that should be expected at any other professional institution. It was one of the things that one of the students I directed in The Crucible said to me. He said, you know, Josephine, do you think you set the bar of professionalism a little too high for us? I mean, we are a community college. And I said, you know, it would be a disservice to you if I were to set it any lower. I am setting the bar of professionalism that is expected of me, is expected of you, is expected of every other actor that goes to audition at the Modern or Seattle Shakes or the Children's Theater. That is what you should be expecting. That is what I'm here to teach you, is about that bar of professionalism and to master it, so that when you go in, you are the first one cracking open your script and sitting in the corner and focusing on your lines. You aren't pulling out your cell phone and checking your Facebook and disconnecting from the process. You have to respect the process. If you can't respect the process, you should find something else to do.
College Theater Roundtable here, Josephine Keefe from SFCC, who was just talking, and before that, it was Diana Trotter from Whitworth, and earlier we've heard from Charlie Pepitone from Gonzaga and Sarah Goff from EWU. We're going to take about a two-minute break and check on the weather, and then come back and talk about the specific things going on in each of these theaters.